Welcome to Mom Life and Montessori, a podcast where we're going to reconnect to the sunny side of motherhood. It doesn't always have to be hard. There is a difference between life's ebbs and flows and chaos. I really hope that this podcast is going to help you with reducing the overwhelm and putting in place practical things while diving deeper into the juicy parts of healing. Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Mom Life and Montessori. I am so sorry, it's been such a long time since the last episode. There was quite a lot of things happening in my life, a lot of rewiring, a lot of, you know, just stuff all over the place. And there was just so much little space to actually record and be alone in a kind of an environment where it's okay to record and not have somebody talk right next to me. So it took quite some time to actually do this. I'm here, I'm back, and this episode we're going to talk about co-parenting. And I know that this can be such a hard topic, so I'm going to try to kind of give you maybe a different approach at first, something that you may not have thought about, and then just a few points that may actually help you in the communication and in the way that things are going. And so you may have one kid, you may have two kids, and you may be co-parenting, or you may actually just have issues with maybe your spouse's different way of parenting and you don't necessarily know how to actually adjust to that or how to deal with that. So let's dive in. First of all, we're going to look at being clear with what is it that you would like. I think that we often are just so not clear with the positive stuff, with the image, with the vision of something that we want to happen in our life. And the more I've actually gone deeper in my inner work, the more I've also opened up to the possibility of things being different and of things being in a way that are so much more fun and light. And sometimes within a difficulty, we forget that even though there is another person involved, we actually have the power to change certain things. If we open up to God, to the universe, to whatever, you know, the greater thing that you feel aligned with and trust, we also can be clear with ourselves of what is it that we would like things to change, how we would like things to change. And so what kind of relationship would you like to have with your ex-partner or with your husband? What is it that is important to you? Journal about it. Write down the best relationship ever with your co-parent or, you know, husband. I'm going to stop saying like husband and co-parent. Let's, you know, I'm going to say co-parent. And if you're even with a partner, just, you know, kind of like think in your head that that can also relate to you. So really write down, feel into this, like, how would you like to see this relationship go? How would you like the communication to be? How would you like to feel within that space of, you know, maybe communication through text or calls? Even though, let's say you're in a very bad situation and the other is actually very toxic, or you don't want to have many contacts with him or her. Well, let's say him because this is mom life. And so even though it's like this, open up to that possibility of things being different, of things being actually much better than they are. And when you open up to that possibility, you actually leave some space for God, the universe, the greater, to actually work and offer you that what you think is possible. Sometimes you can be so stuck in negativity that you attract more of it. And because as we really focus on negativity, we just attract more of it. And we only see that. And as we only see that, we forget to see all the positive sides. And so when we're clear on what is it that we would like, the positive things, we kind of open up to that possibility of seeing some of the positive stuff. And instead of like kind of doing this sort of like self-fulfilling prophecy, we are opening up to something being great. Let's have a great relationship with this co-parent, with my ex-husband or ex-partner. Let's be able to see what is it that is important to me. So feeling, communication, how is your child when maybe your child comes back from the dad's place, or your children come back from the dad's place, like, how is it that you want them to be and feel? Are they harmonious? Are they just happy to see you? You know, all those little details are actually going to help you to kind of like see this being a possibility and really lean into that. Lean into that. And if you're into this kind of like stuff of journaling, you can like, you know, write that out and then from time to time actually come back to it and reread it. And if you want to tweak it, you can tweak it so that you actually really feel it within your body that it is possible. And I can literally tell you that there are times where I did this and literally the thing that I wrote down happened, even though it seemed crazy, because I was open for that possibility to happen. So stay open. One. So that was one. For the second point, I really want to say check in with yourself. And what does that mean? So one, do you see any triggers? So when you look at how you're behaving and how you're feeling, how does it make you feel to be the one for maybe being called like a bad mom or a mean mom? Or, you know, when kiddos are younger, they're maybe, you know, behaving a certain way by rejecting you or just throwing a lot of tantrums, and you feel that there is that difference, which is totally normal. If it's a toddler, obviously there is this whole phase of navigating mom and dad separating, you know, and that is huge for them. So emotionally, they're not going to be able to deal the same way as older kiddos. So that's for sure. But within yourself, do you feel that there is something related to maybe your kiddo now, you know, talking to you and making you feel like you're the one that's not fun? You're the one that's not allowing certain things that, let's say, dad allows. And maybe dad is, you know, buying all that stuff and maybe giving all that candy that you say no to. And so that feeling, there is, you know, a kind of surface level sensation of, okay, this is kind of like, this sucks, you know, and I actually would like this to be different, and it's kind of hard. And then there is this deeper of like, poor me, kind of like I'm a victim of this situation, I'm doing everything I can, and kind of like this more emotional, heavy stuff. That is usually a resonance of the past. And so looking at that, is there a resonance in the past that you actually can see, where you may be feeling excluded or isolated, or maybe where you're feeling like the odd one, you know? Or maybe as a kid, you were doing everything you could to be accepted and felt loved. And in the end, you always felt like you weren't worth it, yet you weren't good enough, that the expectations of your mother or of your dad were never, it was never enough for those expectations, that they had such high expectations that you always felt like you weren't doing good enough. Because sometimes that can be translated is in those certain relationships and situations that are not related like this. Like, you know, your kid going to your, you know, to your ex-husband over the weekend and then coming back and you're having certain feelings. You're like, well, this is not related because, you know, I'm not excluded here. It's just normal. Like, he's taking care of my daughter and now, you know, she's back. I'm not excluded. This is normal. But when you actually peel those layers and when you do that inner work and you kind of like look at what are exactly those emotions that are hiding behind your triggers, you'll see that there are sometimes some seemingly unrelated stuff. And looking at that, pinpointing the emotions and the feelings, is extremely important so that then you can actually feel it. You can feel them and not repress them and actually work on seeing what's behind them. So as you heal that wound, you'll be able to just, one, be less triggered. Two, your child's also going to feel that, and your ex-partner as well. And now for the second part of checking in with yourself is really a way to calm your nervous system down. And so sometimes you can see that even before, let's say, even getting your kiddo back, your kids back, you'll be all worked up. You'll be all like projecting or it's going to be this way, or the kids are going to be this way, or I'm going to have to do all this. And you're like projecting, you're right into the future, you're right into all the negative feelings because you've lived through them and you have experience with that. And it's like your brain knows that this is what will happen. But by you, quote unquote, knowing what will happen, you just attract more and more and more of it so that your brain can be like, yeah, see, I'm safe. Like, I know what's going on. And so instead of actually going with that projection, stay in the present. Stay in the present. So what does that mean? That, you know, it's not just like, let's meditate and, you know, let's do those kinds of exercises. Yes, that, like, you know, that can help if you're into it. Doing yoga, if you're into it. It's been years I haven't done that, and I'm not so much into yoga anymore at all. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about actually having this sort of practice to calm your nervous system when your nervous system feels unsafe and feels like there's a threat. There's a threat. There's like a stress. You know that your children are going to come back and it's like a stress. So your brain is not like into this mode of, oh, I have so much wisdom. I can deal with my emotions. Everything is fine. It's a threat. So you go into fight, flight, fawn response. And so to calm your nervous system, try these little things. One, when maybe before getting, like, let's say like your kids are going to come, like, you know, a certain time, or whenever you think about this situation, whenever you think about your kids coming back, or whenever you feel like, what are your kids doing? What is your kid doing at the other parent's place? You feel this negative emotion, come back and do this. Come back as in like, come back into your body and do this. One, feel the weight of your feet or bottom on the floor. Like, you really come back to the sensation of like feeling your feet or your bottom. Maybe wiggle your toes, even if you're sitting, even if you're laying down, all of a sudden you're in your bed and you start thinking about that at night. Come back to the sensation of your feet, wiggle your toes. You can feel like all the weight of your body, wherever the touch points are, and feel that weight. Whenever you see yourself like going your head, that's fine. You come back to the sensation in the body. And then second, you rub your hands against each other and you feel that sensation that is happening within your hands. You come back into the sensation every single time. You catch yourself going in your head and being like, oh, and like, what if this and this happens and that? No, oh, you stop and you come back. And you don't tell yourself, oh, I'm again in my head. Like, this is bad. I'm such like, no, that's fine. We're so used to being in our heads. And then just come back to the sensation of your hands, how they're rubbing against each other, how that's feeling, and really allow yourself to come back into this moment. And the third, you can really focus on your breath. After you've done these, focus on your breath and feel how, I really love this one, the sensation, the temperature of your breath and the sensation of the temperature going in and out of your nostrils. I love that one because it is such a sensation that we can really feel that's different, unless you're sick and you don't really, you know, feel the difference, which was my case like last week. So in that case, just do the first one. Do something else that's like about you coming back into the sensations of your body and using your senses. This, the more you do that, the more you're actually going to calm your nervous system. And it is so crazy how much it works. It is so crazy. So using this throughout the day, whatever you have, like a negative thought about it, or even just in general, just like you're feeling anxious, you're feeling stressed, you do that. It's like you tell your body like, hey, there's no tiger running at me. I'm safe. It's just here. I'm imagining thing. Or I'm stressed out because of, you know, this person is being kind of an ass and I don't know how to react. Like, it's nothing actually super urgent for the nervous system to be like, let's run away. So you do that. And so you tell your nervous system to calm down. And the more you do that, the more you'll be able to actually create different reactions because you're going to create different neural pathways that will calm you down. And your kids, or your kid, will totally feel that. They feel all that so much more than we do as adults. That is just literally so crazy. And as your kid, the kids feel that there is like less charge around them coming back with you, they will have less resistance. They're just so much more intuitive. They have less walls. They have less resistance. So as we change as we go through emotions in a way that's different, as we get more emotionally intelligent, as we work on ourselves, they're going to feel that there is less resistance with us and that we're not like going into emotional tantrums ourselves. And as they feel that there is less emotional charge, they're going to have less emotional charge as well. This is such an important part. So really try this and let me know on Instagram, you know, if on Facebook, just send me a message and say like, hey, I've tried this and it actually works, you know, well, or, you know, maybe it's difficult. Like, I don't know, whatever your experience is, I would love to know if that is actually helpful for you. Okay, third point, and I've actually put it here on the third point because I think that the two first steps are extremely important and will help with this third point, which is communication with the other parent. Obviously, you've probably tried, and if it's not working really well, you may be blaming the other person. You may be blaming that, you know, they're doing this and that, they're not listening to you. And that's why doing the first two is actually important, because the more you do that, the more you'll have less charge. And the more you do that work, you do that inner work, the more you'll trigger the other one less. So it's more like the less you'll trigger the other one, the more you'll trigger less, the less you will trigger the other parent. And that is super important. It is so important to take that responsibility, even though you're not living together. Or as I mentioned, even if you're living together because it's your husband and, you know, you're not separated, you have a responsibility. So looking at yourself and seeing, how is it that you actually react? How is it that you are feeling, and actually taking that charge off, calming your nervous system? You'll see that even with an adult, things will shift. It is not necessarily as direct as with kids, because kids are just so much more permeable than adults, but even with adults, they're just like, if you shift, something will eventually shift with the other one, especially if you also get clear on your vision of, you know, what kind of relationship do you want to have with the other. So take responsibility for your own stuff and then communicate. Okay, so gently communicate, respectfully communicate your worries, and what are some of the things that you would like to see change and why. Communicate in a way that is, you know, not you do this or you do that. Like, that's obviously going to make the resistance come up. Really use what we all, you know, I hate that word. I don't know why. I hate that word, nonviolent communication, because it's become, you know, such a thing, and everyone's like, oh, nonviolent communication. It's like, yeah, it is about nonviolent communication, but it's also about doing that freaking work. Because even if you do the nonviolent communication and you're not like you, and you talk about, I feel, sometimes it's also, you know, a game. Because if you don't do the inner work, even though you say, I feel, it's like you still put the blame on the other one, you know? So anyways, communicate in a way that's respectful. If you take responsibility for your own stuff, it will be different in the way you talk. But communicating what are your needs in a way that is clear is also something that sometimes is difficult, because you're projecting onto the other person, saying that they will not understand, they will not hear you. And so sometimes that's maybe one of the reasons why some of you actually split up and divorced, or, you know, separated. And so projecting that again is not going to help you. So staying within a communication that is respectful and sharing your needs is important. So we can take, let's take the example of screens, because I see that a lot. Like, screens and sugar is something that is a common problem within parents who are divorced. The mom usually doesn't want as much screen time and doesn't want as much sugar. And the dad, but most dads don't really care. They just want to kind of please their kids, because they often feel guilty that they're not spending that time. They want to show them love, and they don't really know how to show them love in a way that is actually healthy. So they buy them all that stuff. which is the way they do it. They don't know better, and you can't change that. I just wanted to add a little parenthesis, like, I'm not saying all dads are like that, but this is a problem that I see that occurs very often. So not all dads are like that. Let me just precise that so that it's not like blowing up just like, oh, she's saying like, you know, no. But you can communicate in a way that is neutral. You can show them. If you've never done that before, maybe try to share some articles from experts. Men tend to be also very much more logical and rational. So taking away your ideas, your opinions, and maybe sharing some articles and saying, this is one of the reasons why I think that screens for little kids is really not the healthiest. Or, you know, try to find a way, because you know that you know them best. And you'll see that if you've done also your inner work, they'll be more open to actually hearing you. Maybe. Stay open to that possibility. And then actually be empathetic. See why they're using all that screen sugar. Maybe talk about how they're feeling. And if they're not into talking about how they're feeling, put yourself in their shoes and try to see, have a conversation around why they're doing that. If you can, maybe you can find a solution together. Stay open to this working. Stay open for possibilities. Stay open for things being different than the way they are. This is very important. Because if you put the other one in the box, the other one's going to stay in the box. Because you're projecting that you feel the safest, and this is kind of like what happens, self-fulfilling prophecy. So that kind of communication can work. And then the last thing that I want to say is let it go. And I think this is one of the hardest one, because you may have so much, you know, wisdom, and you may see all those things are unraveling, and some of the patterns that maybe your kid or your kids are going to have and show because of this way of the other parent, you know, behavior and the way they're letting them use screens more, for example. And you see that, but you cannot control that. So what is important here is to actually allow yourself to feel that powerlessness and not get into the control mode. And as women, we often have this problem to be in control. And I think I had one episode about that just before, where we've become so masculine and control makes us feel safe. And so we don't feel safe. Our nervous system doesn't feel safe when we don't feel in control, when we feel powerless. We feel powerless. So in order to feel safe and like we have power again, we're going to get into control mode. And this is going to freak the other out completely, especially a man. Oh my gosh, the neighbors upstairs. I hope you don't hear that. I don't know. The little girl is like jumping so much, like they do that so often. It's just crazy. We live in an apartment and like they're running and, you know, like, oh, whatever. Sorry. Okay, so the man doesn't like to feel like the woman wants to control him. And this is like, you know, a man-woman, you know, dynamic, feminine, masculine kind of dynamic. But in any case, if you feel that the other person wants to control you and it's unhealthy, you're not going to like that. So it is very important to allow yourself to be in that, allow yourself to feel that powerlessness, because we're so uncomfortable with that. It usually means something to us. We usually have an association with that. And it doesn't feel safe. So little by little, allowing yourself to feel it in your body, and to see if there is something behind, you'll be able to actually let go more. There, in the end, there is only so much you can do. And the thing that you can do is to focus on yourself and actually do that work, do the inner work, do all the stuff that I talked about at the beginning, and then offer a healthy environment at home. Offer an environment for your child, for your children, that is the way you'd like them to be, and the way you think is best. And in the end, as they grow up and as, you know, they become adults, and maybe as they get their own children, they will realize, you know, like, things are there, seeds are there. And then as they grow up, they're the ones that are going to do their own inner work to see, well, mom and dad separated at this age, and what did they do to me? What did that do to me? How did mom react? How did dad react? What did that do to me? And that's their life, and it's going to be their path. And that is also something you cannot control, but you can do your best, and you already are doing your best. You are. And really, as a mom, you are doing everything you can. And so I just want to say thank you. Thank you for the work you do, because it is just so beautiful. And if you're here listening to this podcast, it just means that you're really, truly wanting to do things differently. And you're asking yourself questions. And that is already such an amazing thing. Because if we want to change the world, well, it starts with us. Okay, I'm going to end on that because I think this is a great ending. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please rate it. Leave a review. And if you want to reach out, please reach out. I'm going to leave some links below. Obviously, on Instagram and Facebook. And I want to mention again, I've created this new mom blueprint to really help you kind of get some of those most important pieces and steps of success for your motherhood journey. So I'm going to link that below. And it's free. You can just download it and really get most of, you know, what are the steps to put in place with Montessori and inner work that are really truly transform your life and your child's life so that they can really thrive, and you can change also, kind of rewire your nervous system to be able to actually stop feeling like you're all the time overwhelmed, stressed. Okay, so I'm gonna go on my merry way. I hope you have a beautiful day or beautiful night wherever you're listening to.